this is strictly by faith. Obviously, this is not, we're not in a sanctuary. I'm in a small studio sitting on a purple couch. And, you know, but I just wanted to share a few things. And really what this relates to is the fact that because of the pandemic and what we've been asked to do as far as not assembling together and not being able to be together, that it, you know, it affects the way we look at church or the way we do certain things related to the church. And it's affecting all of us. And I guess I just want to share a few things that have come to me. And first of all, I think we need to be encouraged, and we need to not doubt the Lord. He, you know, this thing that we're going through now with all the quarantines and everything associated with it, we need to remember that not only has God allowed it, but He's ordained it. He's ordained it to do us good, and not just for us, but for others. And when we face something that, like we're facing now, and how one of the main things is it's happened so quickly, and the changes have been astronomical to the point where we say, well, gosh, if this causes you to really realize and remember and know that we have very little control over anything, and we need to always be looking to God. He's our source of help. He's our source of hope, and He's everything we need. But I thought about the fact that even in church history, people were faced with severe circumstances, and their whole lives changed. And church, as they knew it, whenever that was, changed. And when it changed, you know, a lot of times it'll have a negative effect on us, or them, or whoever it happens to, because we're taken out of our comfort zone and we're put in a place that we'd rather not be in. But it's when that happens to us, that if we look to God, we're encouraged. And we realize that, you know, if we're called according to His purpose includes everything that He brings our way in order to do in us what He promised He would do, and also put us in a place where we can be of a help to others. But just in starting out, this morning, I read several passages in the Bible. They encouraged me, and I thought, well, gosh, I'll just come in here, turn the phone on, hit record, and if the Lord blesses it, maybe we can share it with others, or I can upload it or something. And I think what we need to remember is whatever we do, even if it's a cup of water in His name, it's at least a cup of water. And maybe that's all this is, but you know, the Word of God encourages me, and I think lately, particularly this week, I've just been praying about our assemblies, you know, what we do, the fact that now everything's different. Lord, how do we help those in need? How do we make sure that we're doing what You've called us to do? If changes are having to be made, Lord, anoint our minds, help us, lead us, guide us, because we need You, Lord, to do what we cannot do. And if He knows what our needs are before we even ask them, He knows what every need of every one of His children is before anybody asks, and He's able to direct us to what needs to be done. And He's the only one that knows. But so much in the Word encourages us to keep our eyes on Him. And like I was saying, even those in times past who have gone through things, God always proves Himself faithful. And He's not going to be any different today. I just going to read a few verses. And this one is in Hebrews 10, verses 23-25. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And I think that's one of the things we're having to do now, is to consider how we might spur one another on to love and good deeds, because our situation has changed. But there again, Lord's able to lead us and guide us. And I believe the church body is praying, and we're seeking God and saying, Lord, what would You have us do? And I guess that's one of the main reasons for what I'm saying is to encourage us to keep looking to God. And to, you know, that's part of our daily bread, is Him giving us what we need today. Okay, and not giving up meeting together, some are in the habit of doing. We're in the habit of giving up meeting together because it's required that we do that right now. But it does say this, but encouraging one another, and all the more so as you see the day approaching. we do see the day approaching, but one thing for sure, we need to be encouraged, and we need to be free to encourage others. Back to the people, when people went through things, and how they, the Lord always exhorts us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. This is from a psalm, Psalms 42, verses 1 through 5. I'm just going to read this. It blessed me this morning. I'm going to read it. As a deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. The psalmist says, my soul pants for you. He was actually panting for someone. It wasn't even religion. It was God, I need you. And there was a thirst there. And he's confessing this thirst and says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. And then he makes this statement. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One, with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. So not only did he, I guess he showed up at the temple, he's in there worshiping God, but he's worshiping the Lord with a throng of people. But now, at this point, this is not the case. And so because it's not the case and things have changed so much, he's downcast, he's discouraged. He asks himself this question. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in the Lord, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. I will still praise Him. God is still faithful, and that's what this psalmist says. I might not be able to meet with the festive throng, but I'm going to give my God praise. That's Psalms 42. Here's another verse, and I don't want to read too much necessarily, but again, I'm just sharing. This is in Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Then those who fear the Lord talk with each other. And I guess in modern times you might could even say, then those who fear the Lord text each other. Sometimes a text or just sending someone a text is a great encouragement. You know, and I think one of the things we need to be sensitive moving on and moving into whatever the Lord's called us to do is He can prod us to do some of the most simple things. And yet they're very important. And, you know, a text is a text, but it's, you know, it's like a little letter flying around. But if it's directed by the Lord and the Lord inspiring that, it's going to help somebody. How many times have you been prodded in your spirit to call someone on the phone? And how many times have you received that and had someone call you? And just hearing the voice of another Christian, a brother or a sister, it lifts you up. And as you begin to talk and to communicate, Jesus Christ is lifted up. You're both helped, and you're both strengthened, you're both encouraged. And that's another means that we can encourage each other with. That's another avenue. But this is what it says. And then those who fear the Lord talk with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. Not only when we're talking to each other, and we hear each other, the Lord hears us, and He sees it. And He says this, and a scroll of remembrance is written in His presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored His name. It also goes on to say this, on the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty, they will be my treasured possession. I will spare them just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. Religious or acts or righteous acts, or what we perceive righteous acts to be, they're righteous by what God declares righteous, not what man does. And, you know, which brought me to another verse, which, again, this is in James chapter 1, verse 27. And this is what God says about what religion is and true religion is and religion that He accepts, or what church is. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. That means this thing is proper because it's pure and it's faultless. Is this. To look after orphans and widows in their distress. There are probably numerous people right now because of what's going on that have some type of need. It can be widows. It can be orphans. But it also can be people that have lost their job and or are financially being challenged. you know, what does the word say about if you you go to your brother and say, God bless you, and you don't take care of his need, what good is that? Faith without works is dead. But the Lord's going to, I believe, provide opportunities for us to function as an organic body of Christ. And because of this situation, we're going to see a greater fruit of the Spirit, and you're going to see more things happen and opportunities. There's going to be opportunities with what we're going through as a church that we can encourage each other and actually help each other and serve one another humbly in love. And I just see God in it, and because I see the Lord in it, it encourages me to even the fact that these are not necessarily easy times or something we would have chosen to happen. God is good, and God's in control. He's worthy to be praised, and he's also worthy to be trusted. We can trust that he's doing what's right on our behalf and on the behalf of others. Okay. Anyway, in the back end of this verse, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world, that's another religion that the God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless, is to not be polluted by the world. And, you know, thinking there again, when we're in church and we encourage each other, we're talking to each other, and, you know, we've just come to a worship service and verses are read, and it strengthens our faith. It helps us, and it seems like our armor is added to. We seem to be strengthened and build up in faith. It also gives us, more ammunition and ability to fight the devil and also to fight our own minds. And even when that's happening, that's very important and that's good. But even if we were going to church five times a week, we have the moments where we meet together, and then we have the meeting with the Lord where we meet with him by ourselves. And that was the one thing the Lord exhorted us to do and encouraged us to do when we go to pray. He told us to go in the room, shut the door behind us, and pray to our Father. And he said, you know, you don't have to do a bunch of vain repetitions. That's not what I want. Your Father knows what you need before you even ask him. But when you go to pray, you pray to your Father, and your Father, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you. And I'm going to read the Lord's Prayer. I read it, again, read this morning. It blessed me, and I'm going to read it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. You know, we can confess, whether it's fear, whatever sin that we're having to battle in our mind, let's just take it to God. That's something we can do and should do whether we're in church or not. Let's keep looking to the Lord, because the Lord sees us. He's interested in us, and he knows our need even before we ask it. But the last line of the prayer, then, lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from the evil one. And I was thinking there about the exiles, and when they were taken out of their native land, they were brought into a different culture, a different kingdom, and churches, they knew it for sure, was gone. Because not only were they taken out of their homeland, but the temple where they worshiped God was completely destroyed, and they were in a foreign land. And, excuse me, they were not in a desirable situation. But I thought about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were commanded to bow down before that idol that had been lifted up on the plain. It was about 90 feet tall, and there was music going, and the king had commanded, when the music starts playing, you bow down before this idol. And they wouldn't do it. And the king summons them and said, look, if you do not bow down to this idol, you will be thrown in a fiery furnace. But this is what they said to that king. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us. God is able to deliver. And that's why in that prayer, he said, but Lord, deliver us. But they did add this. They said, if he doesn't deliver us, we're not going to bow down to that idol. And, you know, our God can be trusted. Those men were having to serve God in a foreign land, completely out of their comfort zone, but their whole life and their whole focus was serving God and looking to God. And just like with them and with Daniel and every one of the exiles, when they sought God, even where they were at in a bad situation, he always led them. And I believe he's going to keep leading us. I just say that personally about us because it's a different time, a different culture, a different generation, but God does not change. And I praise him because of his faithfulness. And I'm thankful that he's promised to take care of us no matter what. It was the last thing that Jesus said before he ascended and went up. He said, "Surely I am with you always, even to the end of the world." And we've got every reason to be encouraged. I think we just need to keep praying and seeking God about what he would have us do. You know, as far as a church, how we help others, surely we can keep looking to him. We ask and he'll answer. And I just want to say hello to my brothers and sisters. God is faithful. Let's just keep looking to the Lord. Amen.